Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we are live.
Takeaway again. Takeaway.
Listen, this was an interesting conversation with Travis. Travis Stevens. If you don't know who Travis is, look it up. There's not many people who have accomplished more from judo competition perspective than Travis, but also very, very interesting story about a strategic approach to life. Gary, what's your strategic approach to training?
It's evolving still. For a long time, especially in white belt, I didn't have one. Halfway through blue is when I think I kind of was like, all right, I need to change up how I'm training, because I'm not growing, I'm not learning. So it went from a move-based reactionary type of training to a conceptual base. And I was like, okay, no, this isn't working. So what am I doing wrong? What do I have to do differently? And it wasn't, oh, I'm older and I'm out of shape and blah, blah, blah. It was, I think I'm thinking about this the wrong way. So I had to change that. And once I did, I started getting better. And right now it's conceptual. Why do I do the things I do? Why does guard passing, why was guard passing so difficult? So now I got to think about guard passing as a whole, not just, okay, I'm going to just knee cut. Okay. I want to focus on that right now to get better at it. But, doing a knee cut is it like any other guard pass. I got to get the feet, I got to get the knees, I got to get the hips and move my way up. Right. If all I'm thinking about is pinning one knee down and getting my knee on top, I've skipped the feet. If I'm concentrating on getting the collar, I've skipped the feet, the knees, the hips, right? Once I started thinking about everything and putting it all together, things became a lot easier. Am I great? Did I master it? No, but I'm not as nowhere near as frustrated as I was, and I'm passing the guard much more frequently. So I just had to take a look at it from a different perspective. Why isn't it working? What's going on here? How do I make it work better? And just started learning in a different way.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned that. It's a lot of students in jiu-jitsu and judo, and matter of fact, any martial art, but I have exposure to those too, often take learning in very step-by-step instruction way, which I think it gives an easier approach, because it's more of a cookie cutter. It doesn't require a lot of comprehension. You can just simply follow and execute. So it's definitely the easier way. The challenge is that it doesn't allow you to comprehend. What makes it easier actually makes it complicated. So you don't have a deeper understanding why you're doing things, instead of you just follow dumb steps, because that's literally what it is, right? So yeah. It's not much different than you walking into a complete pitch dark room and me telling you, hey, listen, make 3 steps forward, 2 steps side, then step over this thing and then continue walking. That's literally what's happening.
Yeah.
Versus having a flashlight and making your own decisions how to get to the other side of the room.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's, hey, you can hang a painting on your wall that you painted by numbers, and people are going to look at it and say, oh, wow, he's a pretty good artist. But, or you follow these videos. Like, my son can watch a video on how to draw a 6, right? He can watch a video on how to draw a Ninja Turtle. And when he's done, it's like, wow, this kid can really draw. But if I turn that video off, give him a blank piece of paper and say, draw a Ninja Turtle, he can't do it, right? He's not going to be able to do it. So I think, you know, instead of learning this, these rudimentary steps to get you to the goal, you have to understand everything that's involved, right? You give that adult a palette and a blank canvas and say, okay, now you painted that scenery that I taught you how to paint, that mountain and that forest, paint me a different one. They're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I think there is the other side of all of this is your partner or your opponent. And Travis talked about it quite a bit. Instead of us trying to enforce our own way onto our partner, meaning I'm trying to accomplish A, B, and C, my partner is stopping me. Instead of me pushing into A, B, and C, how about if I see where the weaknesses are? How about if I notice the easiest path to my goal, identify the path, and then they'll go down the path? The challenge in jiu-jitsu particularly arises the moment that my partner or the situation changes. My partner makes a different decision and they introduce another obstacle. And I think in a sense, that's the beauty behind jiu-jitsu, that we continuously, without stopping, need to think and make decisions on the fly, in a sense. Some of them has to be faster than others. Some of them have bigger urgency than other decisions. But no matter what, if the moment you stop thinking and making decisions, this is where things don't go according to plan. Right. And we even on the episode talked about, you know, somewhat simplistic things, like somebody's trying to reverse the situation and they grip your collar and you ignore that. And they grip your lapel. You ignore that. They grip your sleeve. You ignore that. They shift your weight. You ignore that. And then you get swept and you say, well, how do I stop this sweeping or this reversing from taking place?
Right.
Well, it all starts with the first.
Yeah.
They grip the collar. You get rid of that. So don't wait for them to execute the majority of their move, all of this move. You actually have to counter it in the very, very beginning on. And same thing comes with your offensive approach. It's not, you know, me being very stuck and stubborn about smashing somebody. Me having a strategic approach. This is the weakness. This is how I'm going to exploit that weakness to achieve what I want to do.
Yeah, and people think jiu-jitsu, because it's so free-flowing and there's a counter to everything, that you can't apply that to it, but you can. If you watch a competitor and break it down and they submit everybody with A on their right side, right? Or the six times they've been submitted, and I'm kind of stealing this from Travis, you see that five of those six times that they were submitted with the exact same thing from the exact same position, right? So now you know you can exploit that on this person, right? So now how do you build your game for that purpose, right? Not, hey, man, I can hit a Kimura from anywhere. Well, now someday you're going to go up against somebody who knows that, and they're going to limit you, right? So if you go in thinking, hey, this guy, you know, is susceptible to this, well, how do I build my game to get there for this particular match, right? Maybe that might be a little harder in jiu-jitsu because you don't really know who you're going up against in these tournaments, where it's so much more structured in something like wrestling or something like judo. But that's a different way of approaching it, you know, especially in this sport.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I've heard this firsthand so many times where I have a student, he will tell me, I'm going to the tournament and my plan is A, B, C, and D. You know, I'm going to get a takedown, I'm going to pass that guy, I'm going to get on top, I'm going to do the armbar. And my thought always is, you don't even know who you're fighting.
Right.
How do you know that that's what's going to happen? I mean, I wish I knew how to tell future, but I don't. And in some way, I think it's great that they are developing a plan, but a wrong plan is probably worse than no plan. And it puts that individual in a huge disadvantage.
They're not going to be able to adapt.
No, no, unfortunately. Right. So before you start making a plan, you know, you need to educate yourself. Who you're going to be going with? What are their habits? Or, you know, what approach are they taking? And I think by studying the situation and the individual you're going with, now you can develop a plan. And sometimes, listen, reality is sometimes we don't have a lot of time, but sometimes all it takes is watching a match or two or three or five in a tournament, and you can start educating yourself. These are the habits. This guy or this girl pulls guard in the first 10 seconds. Well, what happens if they don't pull guard? What if you stop them? This person, you know, does a hip throw the first 30 seconds. This guy gets frustrated the longer the match goes. See, all these are triggers that allow you to overcome the obstacle. And end of the day, get you to a point of the goal that you set for yourself, which is winning the match.
Now, how do you apply it to everyday life? Take it out of jiu-jitsu, a strategic approach.
I think, you know, for me personally, is I'm very task oriented. I have long term goals and short term goals, and you know, those could vary anything from 5-year plan to this week, this month, or today particularly. But I'm really driven from a perspective of planning and timing everything. So if I know what I have to do, you know, long-term, I can establish some shorter-term goals to achieve that long-term goal. And then I can set some milestones, and then I know what day I have to execute what and how much time I have left to do everything else that I need to do. And I see a lot of people who shoot a lot off the hip, and mm-hmm. and they are very casual. There is not a lot of planning involved in their life or whatever they are trying to achieve. And often I also see a lot of excuses following not achieving the goal. Oh, because I got sick. Oh, because I did. And listen, we all have obstacles. I'm going to say this all out there. Nobody's life is easy. Travis's life wasn't easy. Mine is not easy, or was not easy. Your isn't easy. And I think the challenge is, did you plan? Like, do you know what you have to accomplish? Like, do you truly know what you have to accomplish? And if the answer is yes, well, good for you. How are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. If you know what you're going to do, now how are you going to do it? How long will it take you? I'm a huge fan, personally. I'm a huge fan of SMART goals. If you don't know what SMART goals are, or look it up, and I put it everywhere. For the students who do privates with me, we put them heavily into the entire plan. One of the things that we talked about with one of our recent guests was strategic approach to privates. So if you do privates with me for an extensive period of time, one of the first things we'll do, we'll sit down and develop a plan. What are we going to work on? How are we going to do this? And then I actually put a lot of thought into this to make you successful, because end of the day is it's your time, it's your effort, it's your money. All that is an investment that you're making into yourself. I would not be doing you a justice if I don't know, be checking my text messages or talking to somebody on the phone while you are seeking my attention. So a strategic approach to everything that you do in life, I think, separates those who do succeed and those who don't.
Now, a strategic approach, though, is there, what's the difference between that and setting goals? Is it just how you get there?
Yeah. So strategic approach is the plan, right? So I think a goal is your destination. A goal is your destination. And again, the goals could vary long-term, and those could have smaller goals and smaller milestones. And the strategic approach is really understanding how. So not what, but how we are going to achieve this. And not if, but how we are going to achieve this. So, I mean, I think the one that is a lot of people are familiar with, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay. Sounds good. You want to lose 10 pounds by when? Well, that's a big question. Well, I don't know. I just want to lose it. Well, then you failed already, in my opinion. You don't have a goal. That's not a goal. I want to lose 10 pounds within the next 5 months. Now we are talking. So in the next 5 months, you want to lose 10 pounds. That means there's 2 pounds per month. That's simple math.
I might be able to do that.
2 pounds per month. That boils down to, you know, if you split this even in half, that's a pound every 2 weeks. Now that makes it very different than me saying 10 pounds for 5 months.
Yeah, because I might not do anything for 4.5 months.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you want to lose 1 pound every 2 weeks, you better get on it. You're not starting next week. You're starting today. And how are you going to achieve this? What are you going to do now? What is your strategic approach? What do you need to do to lose a pound every 2 weeks? Now, it's a very different mental set state, you know, not wishing, but actually executing or having a tangible plan to for that execution and setting your success. And then if you fall behind, it's so much quicker for you to catch up because you say, okay, by now I should be 2 pounds in. Well, but I'm 1.5 pounds, so I'm 0.5 pound behind. So I need to catch up a little because next 2 weeks is going to be more behind. Mm-hmm. You know, so it gives you not one a clear plan of steps that need to take place. You have a timeline associated with it. They are realistic. They are achievable. That's what makes a smart goals. Look up smart goals. It's huge. It's huge. And right. It doesn't have to be fitness. It could be anything. It could be, you know, relationships. It could be martial arts. It could be business. It could be career. Anything, literally anything. If you lay out the plan.
If you lay out the plan, you have many deadlines, right? You're achieving each little step along the way. And even if there's a setback, now you know how to approach that. To compensate rather than, you know, because sometimes I think, you know, you said dream a little bit ago, I believe. And I think a lot of times people mistake their goals with dreams, with wishes. And, you know, I wish I was this, or I have a dream of doing that. Mm-hmm. But they have absolutely no approach to get there. And, you know, I think it's that having that strategy of I need to get A, B, and C done to get me one step closer. And, you know, and then there's a whole nother set, right? There's a whole nother, it's like, you know, you got to climb that ladder and you're not going to climb a ladder by skipping any of the runs. You know, you're not going to jump over any of those to get to the top of it. You gotta have one after the other, right? And there's even, I mean, it's so simplistic, but there's a strategy. I'm not going to have both hands on one and bring both feet up to the next one, right? I've got to know how to manipulate my body to get to the top. And I think people just, you know, they don't think about that at all. And they're just so, they're not even focused on the dream. It's just this fantasy. It's not a dream. It's kind of a fantasy, right? And they never get there. They never put anything in place to help them achieve it.
Yeah, I think dreams are important. I think that's where it all starts. But it's important also to understand that dream is not a goal. Dream is a thought. Dream is a thought without any plan. Dream is just simply, you know, a wish.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy. And,
right. I mean, I can give you endless examples from my life where dream became a reality. And the difference between those two is that I put action behind the dream and I made it happen. I took time to understand what it takes for this dream to become a reality. And I was very realistic about it, what I had to do to make it work. And then I took action. So just because you think about it, it doesn't end there. Now you have to apply that. Now you have to execute. Now you have to follow the plan and process that you put in place and overcome all the obstacles and all the challenges that come with it. But let me tell you, some of the ones that I got, they literally were dreams and they became a reality.
Yeah. You have to know what you're doing too. I think to to get there. Travis talked about, you know, you watch enough film on this guy, and if at the 2 minute mark, you know, he kind of gives up, especially if he's got the lead, right? Well, that doesn't mean at the 2 minute mark, he's just going to lay down for you. He's not going to throw himself on his back for you. You've still got to get something done.
Yeah.
So you still got to know how this guy plays, right? Yeah. You can't just say, oh, this guy quits at 2.5. All right, cool. That's all I need to know, right? And then you wait it out for 2.5 minutes and then suddenly you win. No, I don't think so. You know, you do your best to get through those 2.5 minutes by knowing what this guy's going to do in those 2.5 minutes. And then you capitalize at the end when he shuts down, right? But, you know, you need to know that the dude's really good at defending A, B, and C. So you got to go with D or something like that. You know, you still have to have a strategic approach to it. You can't just say, it's all going to fall into my lap at 2.5 minutes.
I agree. I think the most important part behind all of this is that not every dream will become reality. You can't be anything that you want in your life.
Yeah, we've talked about
you will not get a participation trophy for everything you do.
No, it's
and that's the hard part. This is, I think, where strategic approach comes in really handy. It's a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go to the moon. I honestly would. I would love to do that. I'm for real, actually. I would love to, but odds of me going are slim to none.
Yeah, especially because you're afraid of heights.
Exactly.
But I'll never slam dunk a basketball. It's never gonna happen. I'm 5 foot.
Could lower, eh?
Yeah, well, yeah. On a regulation.
But see, now you're talking about something important, right? You're being very specific about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is what I want to do. But in order for it to happen, these are the obstacles I'm facing, and a lot of them are on my control. Either we have to lower the hoop, or I have to have some kind of propeller to get me up there, one or the other. So if I want to do it with the regulation height of the hoop, this will not be possible.
Nope, it's not going to happen. So I could do as many box jumps as I possibly can, but it's not going to happen. I'm never going to get that vertical leap. It's never going to happen.
Listen, before we wrap this up, this is what I want to mention. As far as jiu-jitsu is concerned, have a strategic approach to your learning. I often tell my students, there is a very, very variety of mediums how you can learn anything. In jiu-jitsu, we have classes. We have open training. There are seminars. There's workshops. There's drilling sessions. There's conditioning sessions, and there's private lessons. Now, I just mentioned, 7, 8?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't counting. But the point is, there is a variety of ways you can acquire the knowledge. The trick is, more you dip into, or more of them you dip into, more you're going to accelerate your learning curve.
If you're strategic about it. If you're not,
I understand.
You're just going...
I understand.
And jumping around.
This is the whole thing, right? But the point is, if you stick with one, it is what it is. Because you can only learn so much in a seminar. You can only learn so much in a class. You can only learn so much in a sparring session. Now, if you attend classes, you do seminars, you do private lessons, you do drilling classes, you do conditioning classes. See, now you're dipping more into them, and now you can go even deeper in there that each of them needs to be strategically designed for your success.
Right.
I get that part, but my point is it all starts with the point that you have many opportunities, and not all of us have the opportunity to do private lessons or seminars. I get that part, but the point is that more you dip into these opportunities, more you are going to succeed. Higher the chances of you retaining the information, and higher chances of you accelerating your learning curve. A lot of people turn down these opportunities for many reasons, but they turn them down instead of finding a way to make it happen.
Yeah, but in the same breath, though, be strategic about it. So you're taking a fundamentals class. Don't take a private for Barambolo. right? Well, it's going to be useless. It's going to, I know you have, I know. It's going to be useless. You know, if take that private, that time to make your fundamentals better, you know, and then over time start working in the craziness, but not right off the bat. Be strategic about it. All right. Cool.
Let's take a strategic approach and end.
End this. It's easy. First thing you do is hit the button. I'll see you. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.